Any new business?
Mr. Chair, I have no new business, but when you're willing to accept the motion, I'm going to give you a motion to alter the agenda, suspend the rules to alter the agenda, to move the presentations after the announcements. Would you like that now?
Or? Sure.
Okay, so I'll give you a motion to suspend the rules to alter the agenda to deal with item 11, which is the presentations after announcements.
Okay. Seconder, Councillor Jones. All in favor? It's carried. And Councillor Anderson, any announcements?
Mr. Chair, no new business, no announcements.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. New business. Councillor Hooper, new business?
No, sir.
Okay. Councillor Jones?
No new business.
Okay. And Councillor Trail?
No new business, thank you.
All right, motion to adopt the agenda. Moved by Councillor Anderson, seconded by Mayor Foster. All in favor? That's carried. Declarations of interest, any? Seeing none. Announcements, Councillor Anderson, any announcements?
No announcements.
Councillor Hooper?
The only announcement I have is just like to thank, I know all of staff is not here tonight, but Community Services did an outstanding job in regards to a gentleman was celebrating his 90th birthday and still skates. And I just wanted to say thank you to all of the Community Services staff. And I should probably do this at council because it was a great, great day. And I'd like to thank the mayor for his contribution too in regards to that particular day. And you made a very young skater quite happy in regards to celebrating his birthday. So I'd just like to say thank you to everyone involved.
Councillor Jones?
No announcements.
Okay, and Councillor Trail?
Yes, just one. I'm reading this out at the request of a good friend and former councillor in England. This is concerning the upcoming AIDS Committee of Durham Region Gala. It's my understanding that tickets aren't moving as quickly as they could be, so I'm going to announce that it's coming up on Saturday, March 2nd at the Robert McLaughlin Gallery. And just by way of background, I was asked to give a little outline of the AIDS Committee of Durham Region, which is striving to reduce the stigma around HIV and AIDS by living according to these values. The greater involvement and meaningful engagement of people living with HIV and AIDS puts the client at the center of all that the organization does, and that they're client-led and peer and volunteer-driven. They also focus on social justice work through a lens of cultural safety, inclusivity, activism, diversity, and anti-racism and anti-oppression framework. So please, I hope, I know Mayor Foster has purchased tickets, and I hope if you have the time to do so online. And more information I'll provide through staff to put up on our event calendar. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Trail. Mayor Foster, any announcements?
Mr. Chair, I have none.
Okay. So motion on the minutes. Moved by Councillor Hooper, seconded by Mayor Foster. Any additions or deletions? Seeing none, call a question. All in favor, that's carried. And presentations.
Mr. Chair, members of Council, it's our privilege this evening to present on behalf of the Clarington Heritage Committee. We have three properties that we are giving our designation, doing our designation celebration of. They've been designated in the past, but they'll be recognized tonight. The first is 156 Church Street in Bowmanville. It is very, very close to this location. You might want to observe it on your way out. It's one of the best examples of Italian architecture style in Clarington. The house known as the Shaw House is known as the Shaw House for its long association with the family and is beautifully proportioned with sophisticated detailing. Diachromatic brickwork is used effectively, and the contrast between buff and red brick forms a distinctive pattern between the stories. Buff bricks also accent the solid coins and double rows of hood moldings above the paired windows. The broad eaves are supported by elegant brackets below a hipped roof that is shingled in slate on the angled portions. The recessed central bay is unique, enclosing an intricately detailed storm porch with panel double doors, side lights, and three rounded transom lights. And it was designated in 2008, bylaw 2018-060. So that is 156 Church Street, Bowmanville. Actually, I should probably introduce myself. I'm the Vice Chair of the Clarendon Heritage Committee. My name is Peter Vogel, and Catherine Warren will make the next presentation.
Thank you very much. 220 Lambs Road was designated, for its varied history. It was the boys' training school. Thank you. And was the World War II prisoner of war camp, referred to as Camp 30. The property at 2020 Lambs Road has significant cultural and historic value to the residents of Clarington, the province of Ontario, and Canada as a whole. It was first the boys' training school when it officially opened in August of 1925. During World War II, the Department of National Defense appropriated the property and used it as one of Canada's prisoner of war camps, Camp 30. Here, the Battle of Bowmanville occurred in 1942. The prisoners, most of whom were higher-ranking German officers, objected to the intended shackling of prisoners, and the violence began after 126 prisoners were sent to another camp to be shackled as a reprisal for the chaining of Canadian soldiers captured at Dieppe. The battle lasted for 3 days and was the only battle during World War II to be fought on Canadian soil. In addition to the uses of the property, the architectural stylings of the buildings demonstrate a collection of building styles, including prairie-style features, which are rare and unique in Ontario and Canada. They were constructed between approximately 1925 and 1940, and the buildings were and still are impressive and noteworthy. Buildings such as the cafeteria, the dormitories, the jury house, Kiwanis House, represent the unusual prairie style of architecture, and this style is very underrepresented in Ontario and Canada, with few examples ever built, let alone retained. Characteristics of the style include the strong horizontal character, heightened by long, gently pitched roof lines and other linear elements. The hospital and triple dorm building are more traditional styles with peaked roofs and sash windows. They make reference to the arts and crafts style as well as loose references to the prairie style. The architects who were responsible for the buildings was the Government of Ontario Provincial Architects Department, and there were many noteworthy architects who worked on this. Most notable were F.R. Heeks, George N. White, and James Gorin. F.R. Heeks was appointed chief architect of the Provincial Architects Department in 1896 and held the position until his death in 1930, and most notably he was commissioned to build the Whitney Block in Toronto. The Ontario Archives hold drawings for virtually all of the provincial buildings executed under his supervision from 1896 to 1926, and for the boys' training school he was responsible for the dormitories, the dining hall, the medical superintendent's residence, the fire hall, the boiler house, heating plant, gymnasium, and swimming pool. George N. White served as the chief architect for the province from 34 until 42 and was responsible for working under F.R. Heeks, and his buildings were the hospital and oversight of other buildings while he was there. This was designated in 2018.
The third property that we want to recognize this evening is 483 King Avenue East in Newcastle. The Walbridge House was originally part of a 600-acre parcel which began at Concession Road 3, extending southward to Metcalf Street. In 1792, the land was a crown grant to Rachel Cruikshank, who was a close personal friend of Mrs. John Graves Simcoe, Elizabeth Posthumus. In 1816, Rachel Cruikshank sold the land to Asa E. Walbridge for $1,200. The combined enumeration and assessment roll for Clark Township, Archives of Ontario, indicates that Asa E. Walbridge built the house between 1825 and 1826. The Walbridge House was a very large house for its time and had a total of 6 fireplaces. Asa E. Walbridge was born in 1782 in Dutchess County, New York State. In 1809, he married Hannah Every, and they have had 5 children. He was appointed a magistrate by the province. However, this may be a justice of the peace. In March of 1838, the Bondhead Harbor Company received its charter, and one of the founding directors was Asa E. Walbridge. Asa died in 1860 in Newcastle Village. Starting in 1805, the Methodists had what were called saddlebag preachers, and the Smiths Creek Circuit stretched from Belleville to York, now Toronto. In 1824, a second preacher named Reverend Anson Green was added to the circuit. On November 4th, he preached the first Methodist sermon at the Walbridge House on the main road. Thus, a Methodist congregation was officially founded in the Walbridge House. In November of 1974, the 150th anniversary of Methodism in Newcastle was celebrated, and the opening ceremonies took place at the home. From 1950 to 1958, this house was known as the Gladibray Tourist Home, a bed and breakfast owned and operated by Harry and Louise Joes. Descendants of the Walbridge family continued to reside in this home until 1987, when it was sold to a developer. The developer applied to have the home demolished, but efforts to save the home were successful. A buyer was found and the home was renovated in 2015-2016. The current owners, Brian and Audrey Joes, purchased the home in 2012 and now live in the home. Brian is a direct descendant of the Walbridge family. The house is a 1.5-story, 5-panel front, Georgian-style home which exhibits a profile and arrangement of exterior features favored in the earlier decades of the 19th century. It is unusually wide, as its exterior dimensions are 43 feet and its width by 34 feet in its depth. The original clapboard siding has been replaced with new siding, which matches the original. A second floor dormer, which was a 20th century addition, was removed to restore the home to its original design. The original 6/6, 4/4, and 3/1 windows were replicated and the original stone foundation repaired. The ground flooring of 5/4-inch pine rests on top of logs, some of which are hand-hewn, and that rests on the outside stone foundation and scattered inside stone pillars. There are 7-inch by 2-inch bricks in the back outer wall adjacent to the clapboard siding. The front porch retains its original character, 6/6 side lights and its transom, a 39-inch wide entrance door and entabular. The interior features include the window casings, interior doors and woodwork, wood flooring and pole rafters. At the time of designation, there are only 92 known buildings in all of Ontario that are of this vintage. The Walbridge House may be the second oldest house within the historic boundaries of the former Durham County and may be the oldest building in Clarington on its original foundation. It was designated by the bylaw in 2007. And we have... Here's a picture of a presentation that was made at the Walbridge home, but we actually have the owners here tonight and a couple of others who will be here to symbolically accept these designations, and we'll have a photo as well. So if I could call forward the Joses and the, I'm forgetting the recipient for 156 King Church Street. What if they could?
Welcome.
Thank you.
Do members of council typically...
Mayor Foster, I assume you're going to jump in?
Okay. Excellent. I think we want us to gather.
Okay, thank you very much, Peter and Catherine. Okay, so now we're on to the public meeting. So this is a public meeting regarding a zoning bylaw amendment. The purpose of the meeting is to hear and receive public comments concerning the proposal. General information on public meetings is outlined on the sheets provided at each of your seats. So there's one meeting for a proposed zoning bylaw amendment to permit a 3,643 square meters of floor area consisting of 4 restaurant units, 10 retail units, 9 office units, and a daycare at 2411 and 2415 Baseline Road in Bowmanville. If a person or public body does not make oral submissions at this public meeting or make written submissions to the municipality of Clarington before council makes a decision with respect to the proposed zoning bylaw amendment, the person may not be entitled to appeal a decision to the local planning appeal tribunal, and the person or public body may not be added as a party to the hearing of an appeal before the local planning appeal tribunal unless, in the opinion of the tribunal, there are reasonable grounds to add the person or public body as a party. So the meeting will proceed in the following manner. Staff will provide a short presentation explaining the proposal. Residents and other members of the public will then be invited one by one to offer any comments. Before doing so, please state your name. Following your presentation, please enter your name and mailing address, including postal code, on the interested parties list located on the podium. Please be advised that your personal information is collected under the authority of the Planning Act and will be used during the review process. Questions about this collection of personal information can be directed to the municipal clerk. The order in which you'll be asked to address committee will be all opposed or concerned about the proposal first, followed by anyone wishing to provide comment or support. The applicant or agent will be last. So the public meeting is regarding applications by 2411 Baseline Limited, which is represented by DG Biddle, to permit a commercial development comprising of 23 commercial units, one daycare with 126 parking spaces. File number ZBA 2018-0029. The staff presentation will be made by Ruth Porras. Come forward, please.
Thank you, and good evening, Mr. Chair, Mayor, and members of council, fellow staff, and members of the public. 2411 Baseline Limited has submitted an application to amend the zoning bylaw 8463. The purpose for this application is to request permission for a proposed development of a commercial property for a variety of uses. The proposal includes 2411 and 2415. Baseline Road in Bowmanville. The purpose of this report is to provide information on the proposal and receive public comments. The surrounding uses of this proposal are as follows. To the north, municipal open space across Baseline Road and single family homes. To the south, there is a stormwater management pond. To the east, a residential property and the West Side Creek. To the west, there is a storm water management pond and the Clarington Fields facility. The subject site is generally flat. There is a detached home at 2415 Baseline Road, which would be demolished to allow the development. The subject lands are 1.3 hectares in area. The proposal will have a one-story building for restaurant and retail uses, which is building A, a two-story building for restaurant, office, and retail uses, which is building B, and a one-story building for a daycare, which is building C, and 126 parking spaces. The Clarington official plan designates the subject lands as gateway commercial and environmental protection area. Gateway commercial areas are intended to serve specialized needs of residents and attract visitors to the municipality. Permitted uses include a variety of retail and service uses. The environmental protection areas include the natural heritage and the hydrologically sensitive features, as well as those regulatory floodplain of the of a water course. The Westside Creek water course is floodplain and associated natural heritage system is located immediately east of this property. This proposal is being reviewed against the urban design policies of the official plan, which provide direction for development located within a gateway commercial center. A zoning bylaw amendment is required to bring into conformity the holding light industrial HM1 zone exception of the zoning bylaw with a gateway commercial designation to permit the proposed development and to refine the location of the environmental protection EP zone. Public notice was given by mail to each landlord within 120 meters of the subject site, and one public meeting notice sign was installed on the site facing Baseline Road. The public notice was also posted on the municipal website and in the planning services electronic newsletter. As of the writing of this report, a resident requested confirmation regarding the traffic light that might be installed at Baseline and Westside Drive if this project goes through. Staff has indicated that until the final submission is provided, the signalization of the intersection is unknown. This will be reviewed as part of the traffic impact study. The proposed application and several technical studies listed in the staff report were circulated to departments and agencies for comments. The proposal represents a form of development encouraged for the most part by provincial, regional, and municipal policies. It will add 3,643 square meters of commercial floor space in Bowmanville, increasing job opportunities for the community. The issues to be addressed include the rationale for the building location, which is required, building design rationale, rationale for the reduction of parking, rationale for land uses, revisions to the traffic impact study, including traffic counts, timing for traffic signalization for the intersection of Baseline Road and Westside Drive. There are concerns also with the grading plan and proposed retaining wall located along the east boundary of the site, the existing utility conflicts, entrance design, and land acquisition issues at the primary entrance. The purpose of this presentation is to provide background information on the proposed development to the public in order to receive feedback on the application. Once all public and agency comments have been received, and once the necessary revisions have been made to the submitted reports and plans, staff will prepare a future recommendation report. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone who wishes to speak in objection to or has concerns with the application? Please come forward. Okay. Seeing nobody, is there anyone who wishes to support the application? Okay. And is the applicant's agent wish to address the meeting? Welcome, Mr. Fry.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Michael Fry. I'm a land use planner with DG Biddle & Associates. We're a civil and planning consulting firm located in Oshawa. I have with me here Drew Hansen, who is the building designer, and Drew will speak briefly about the design aspects of the building that we think are important, those being the green. The environmentally sensitive design aspects, which we've been pushed forward by the owner to implement, and we think that those are very important, especially with regards to you, Clarington's official plan. I do want to speak very briefly with to the committee with regards to a couple of items in the report, those being that the number of parking spaces are proposed were approximately 15 to 18% below what is typically required as per the zoning bylaw. We would like to be able to address that with a with our next submission. We will increase the number of parking spaces and bring it to within 10%. And as we all know, with the mix of uses and the timing of the uses, the balance of the parking should work itself out. We are in the process of having a parking study done and have that with the next submission. I also wanted to speak briefly about the proposed entrance to the site, and that has come as a result of the staff's recommendation in a pre-consultation meeting. Though it was never the owner's intent to purchase the land to open up that particular location on the property, it's always been our understanding that that the land currently being owned by the municipality would accommodate a widening of Baseline Road to allow for the site access, and we always understood it as that. So we do need to continue to have those discussions with municipal staff. But I just wanted to be on record as just so that council, that the committee understood that moving forward. Otherwise, Mr. Hansen here has a number of design elements he'd like to speak to regarding the environmental design of the building.
Good evening, Mr. Chair and committee members. Yes, I'll just briefly touch on some of the design elements, specifically the environmentally sensitive design elements. Our client is fairly unique in that he came to us and was pushing for a better building, a more environmentally friendly building, and we've tried to incorporate design elements within the building and within the site to address those. Those elements include rooftop solar panels to power the building, as well as other passive elements such as a solar wall to help with the heating and air conditioning of the space, as well as we're looking at the building envelope to provide a more efficient building. And in terms of the site, we're looking at two locations for 3 to 6 charging stations for electrical vehicles, one included at the front of the site, which has a solar canopy over it to both provide shade to the cars and to provide power to those charging stations. We've looked at another of other elements regarding the site and regarding infiltration, and we'll use our best practice to try and achieve as green a building as we can get on the site, knowing that it's a sensitive area. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from any of the council? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so that concludes the public meeting. Anyone's welcome, of course, to continue to stay and observe the rest of the meeting. So that concludes that. And delegations. So we have Michael Domovich. Come forward, please, sir. This is on PSD-013-19, extension of draft approval by the numbered company in Brookhill neighborhood in Bowmanville. Welcome, sir. Okay. Any questions from council? Seeing none? Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's appreciated tonight. Okay, no communications. There's one communication for direction. Anybody have a motion on that? Page 16 of the agenda. Memo from Ralph Walt. Mayor Foster?
Maybe a motion to receive, and I'm going to speak to it briefly if I get a
motion
second.
To receive? Okay.
Yep.
Second by Councillor Hooper. Okay, Mayor Foster.
Thank you, Councillor. I'm going to stand on my soapbox and once again note that you know, we're looking at affordability here, and for whatever reason, increasing housing supply, we don't seem to be getting the message across at the region, and I hope that does not happen here, that we need to encourage private investment in the sector if we're going to solve this. The taxpayers cannot afford to solve it. I'd bring council's or committee's attention to two items that are in here, if I can find them. And one is the impact the province is making noises about development charges. As you read this, you would find that without development charge funding, sanitary user rate increases of approximately 13% would be required to fund ongoing debt obligations. Again, development charges supporting roads, the roads capital project, a property tax increase of nearly 6% would be required to fund the shortfall. So I think it's important for us to understand when we're talking with the MPPs that if there is a significant hit to development charges, there will be a significant hit to property taxes, and nobody wants to see that. Mr. Chair, thank you.
Councillor Hooper?
Yes, thank you. Excuse me, it was a very good read, and I just, my only comment would be that would there be an opportunity to forward this onto the Affordable Housing Advisory Committee for their information too as well, just to get their, you know, so they're in the loop, so to speak. So some of this information doesn't get passed on, and I think it should be something that should be going to them too as well. Thank you.
I guess, do we need that as a motion, Madam Clerk? No?
I think we can just make that happen.
Okay. All right, any other speakers on that? Okay, call the question, all in favor. That's carried. And we're into the planning services reports. PSD-011-19, anybody have a motion on that? Councillor Hooper?
Move as written, please.
Okay, move as written, seconded by Councillor Jones. Comments or questions to that? Mayor Foster.
Well, thank you. I couldn't help myself. I'm looking at page 9, agency comments, and I'd have to ask staff, we were talking about affordable housing. I know that this is not affordable housing, but you know, under agency comments, there are a number of studies required by the province, and the province has to get back on these studies. Would these studies increase the cost and slow down the ability of people to get things done?
I'm not sure they increase the cost. They are the cost of doing development in the current planning framework.
Well, Ms. Langmaid, thank you for the response. I'm thinking maybe just a point that the province can look at, and it might be pots calling kettles black. Thank you.
Councillor Hooper?
If I can just make a comment in regards to that. I did attend the open house that the developer did have and perused some of the reports that were on the table, and I was very, very surprised. And there was no price tags attached to them, but I did get an earful. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess I question sometimes the need for an archaeological report, but it's seems to be expected for every single type of development application that occurs. Even small severances have to do one. So, okay, call the question. All in favor? That's continuing to be processed. Thank you. Next one is PSD-012-19, application for removal of holding symbol. Mayor Foster moving, seconded by Councillor Anderson. Comments or questions of that? Call the question. All in favor. It's carried. Extension of draft approval, PSD-013-19. Motion on that. Councillor Hooper, seconded by Councillor Jones. Comments or questions to that one? Seeing none, call the question. All in favor? That's carried. Same motion on extension to draft approval for Linvest Properties. Anyone have a motion on that? Councillor Jones, seconded by Mayor Foster. Comments or questions to that? Councillor Anderson, are you voting or? Okay. Anybody have a question? So if I could ask to you, Ms. Langmaid, the principal reason for this extension is what? Could you elaborate that on that, please?
The principal reason for the extension on this one is because the services have not made it to the site as of yet, so therefore they could not build the houses.
Okay, all right.
The servicing should be there by 2020 to 2023 because it's coming up from down in the south under the 401 up Rudell Road.
I see, okay. Okay, call the question. All in favor? That's carried. And proposed changes to the growth plan for the Greater Golden Horseshoe. Anybody have a motion on that? Councillor Hooper, you're moving as written?
Yes, sir.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Anderson. Comments or questions to that? Mayor Foster.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Langmaid, thank you, and I understand that Mr. Salazar had a lot to do with this as well. I do have some questions. So certainly the inclusion in this report of getting the employment lands in Curtis and perhaps swapping so we can get some mixed use or some more mixed use north of the GO train make a lot of sense. We have spoken of a number of different areas in the municipality where we think that perhaps we should be putting forward our position. I'm thinking of Orono. So one of the things that's proposed are settlement area boundary expansions. Should we in this be making note of Orono or of other areas in the municipality? Just to highlight that, you know, there are things that we're looking for. And I've got a longer list than just Ms. Langmaid's grinning. A longer list and to perhaps be a bit more proactive. And this is wonderfully proactive already, thank you. So Ms. Langmaid?
I did ask that question earlier today of not Mr. Salazar, because I hadn't run into him at that point, but of one of his staff, and whether we should be putting additional things in. The response that I was given was is that we were encouraged not to do that by the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing. But if Mr. Salazar would like to speak to it, I'm quite happy to have him do that.
Thank you. I'm curious.
Through you, Mr. Chair. The fact is that the proposed amendments focus only on the growth plan, and that means only in the urban areas of Clarington. That means Curtis, Bowmanville, Newcastle, and Orono. For Orono, we already have policies included in our official plan about the possible expansion. About other areas, should be dealt with through the Greenbelt plan. So the focus of this report is only on the growth plan and its implications on Clarington, and that means the urban areas of Clarington.
So I understand that sometimes you need to worry about asking for too much, but in the urban areas, and I know some work is being done on the Energy Park and West, so those would be the land south of the 401 between Curtis Road and Darlington. So are there other bits? And I've got a long list, but they're all, and you know exactly what my list is, but they're all outside of the urban areas. Is there anything else that we might as well ask for while this is in front of us? I'm looking at you, Mr. Salazar. We've got direct eye contact, and okay. Ms. Langmaid seems content to let you sit on the hot seat for now.
Through you, Mr. Chair, there are two processes here. One is the provincial government is trying to amend the growth plan, and the second one is the other process is the regional comprehensive review of the regional official plan. There are other sites that may be considered through the regional official plan, and we'll be coming back to council with a specific site proposal that may come up through that process.
Okay, and I'm just thinking of knocking a stake in the ground as frequently as possible, but what I'm hearing is this is as much as we want to do.
At this time, yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other comments or questions? Call the question. All in favor? That's carried. No new business, no unfinished business, no confidential reports. One motion to go. Councillor Traill, motion to?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, seconded by Councillor Jones. All in favor? That's carried. Thank you.
I want to know why the meeting this morning didn't go this way.